This is on the record, episode 20.
It certainly is.
But it's a bit unusual, this one, because normally we record these in London, right?
Yeah, we do.
In a studio. But where are we now? Why don't you just tell everyone?
We're 38,000 feet above the Atlantic, mid-Atlantic, halfway between London and New York City.
And we're flying backwards.
Well, this is the most amazing thing. This is the most amazing thing about it, right? Do you remember in the old days when you got onto British Rail trains and you sat with your back to the engine?
Yes.
Your mum used to tell you, don't do that, because if you do, you get a headache.
Although people said it was actually safer, didn't they?
Well, it is safer if you crash into something, but most trains don't crash into things.
That's true.
And most aeroplanes don't crash in the ground, thank God. And certainly British Airways aeroplanes don't. But the thing is, we've just spoken...
jinx the plane.
No, we've just spoken to our producer, who didn't realise we're flying backwards.
Yeah, because he thought first class was
the other way. He certainly did,
It's very important to know which way first class is, because the problem I found earlier was, as I got up to go and visit the convenience, was that I realised if I walked in the wrong direction, I might have to go through that curtain.
That's right.
You know, where the Great Unwashed are.
Well, exactly. You want to you want to avoid the Great Unwashed.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting, because when we were on what is... basically known as the apron at Heathrow.
The apron?
Yeah, the apron, yeah. I was looking out the window and I was thinking, I heard the plane, well, I felt the plane jolt and judder.
Did you?
And you know that then what's happened is, you know the little bloke in the little truck that tows the front wing of the plane out?
Yeah, yeah.
He's actually started to move the plane out.
Oh, yeah.
But then I got completely confused because although I felt the judder, that the plane was moving out.
Yeah.
I was going forwards, not backwards.
Also, we are in the middle of the plane, so we're not able to actually look out a window because you've got all this protection in this beautiful
section of the plane. All the screens in between the various rows were down, and I could see through a window.
No, I couldn't, you see.
No, I could, I could, you see.
Hey, by the way, I thought you said you weren't drinking until we do the show on Saturday.
Well, the problem was that I've run into a stress condition.
Stress condition?
Yeah, a stress condition.
Why?
Well, a very unfortunate thing happened to me this morning. I'm incredibly well organised.
I noticed that, yeah.
My car, my limo, came to pick me up at 4:45.
What sort of car was it?
It was a good limo.
A good limo?
Yeah, a good limo.
What sort of make was it?
Well, it was very dark and I couldn't quite see.
You couldn't tell?
Very good limo.
All right. So I came in a Ford Galaxy.
A Galaxy? Oh, that's not good, is it?
I wasn't particularly impressed.
No. Okay. So anyway, so the limo arrives.
Yeah.
And I spent like 3 hours last night making sure everything was perfect.
Is this the limo arriving at your hovel in Stockbroker Belt?
No, it was arriving at my penthouse apartment in the Stockbroker Belt, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And so at the penthouse apartment, so he's got arrived. And I bought myself a new case for this trip.
Oh, have you?
And a new...
I thought it looked a bit pristine.
No, it's a new executive case.
Why did you pick it as a light blue? It matches the city colours.
Do you know why?
Why?
80% of suitcases are black. And the
really?
Lady in the Debenhams, where I bought it, quality shop, said...
You sure it wasn't the Debenhams of the North?
It wasn't the Debenhams of the North, no. Said, you know, the advantage is if you buy one, and mine is, it's kind of a turquoise-type colour.
Yeah, it's matched
like
the city blue.
Yeah, something like that,
It's not Everton blue.
No, well, there wasn't an Everton blue colour. She said, when you see that on the carousel, you know it's yours. Oh, that's a really good idea, because most are black. So, anyway, so... I go downstairs and the guy hauls the case into the back.
Right.
But I have my trusty...
What have you brought in the case, by the way?
Two suits.
Okay.
Seven shirts.
Seven? You're only there for 4 days.
Two pairs of shoes.
Okay.
Have
you got decent shoes?
10 pairs of what you might call pants and
that's
10
enough.
Pairs of socks.
Why have you brought 10 pairs?
Well, because...
We're there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right?
I might get changed twice a day.
Well, do you need to wear two pairs of pants a day?
Well, I might do. Yeah,
I'm sorry to impinge on the personal items.
Yeah.
You know.
But anyway, listen, what I was going to say is...
I've only brought 5 pairs of boxer shorts.
Well, nobody wants to know that. So my trusty shoulder bag, which has got everything in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, the passport.
That horrible sort of canvas bag.
Well, it's not canvas.
It's a tramp's bag.
No, it's not a tramp's bag. It's a tranny bag. So anyway, so we get in the car. Now, as you know, it's very dark at that time in the morning. And the canvas bag is a dark colour.
Yes.
So I'm sitting in the back doing all the texting and all that kind of stuff. We get to Heathrow with 35 minutes from my Stockbroker Belt, Surrey.
Do you know, by the way, on the way out to the airport, because I came from London, I couldn't believe it as we were driving out.
Yeah.
There was nothing coming back in the other way on the M4. And I said to the driver, I said, by the way, I said, it's a bit odd, isn't it?
Mm.
He said, yeah, they must have closed it. Do you know they were resurfacing the M4? At 5:30 in the morning.
What, near to Heathrow Airport?
Just coming by Heathrow.
The busiest in the world.
The busiest road in the world.
Yeah.
The traffic was already backed up to about Reading. And this was at 5:30 in the morning. What a disaster.
What a disaster.
Thank God we're leaving Britain to go to America.
Well, no, I love Britain, but it was just an unfortunate thing. Anyway, we get to Heathrow, and a great driver. And I get out.
What was his name?
I don't know.
You didn't ask his name?
No, I didn't get personal.
Did you give him a tip?
Yeah, I did. It was £46. It's £44.
Right.
I gave him 50.
Well, you mean an extra 50?
No. No, I gave him 50 quid.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Oh, that's all right.
But that's not the end of the story.
All right.
So, anyway.
It's a bit long, this story. I mean, have we not got something better to talk about?
So, anyway, I got my proud new suitcase. And by the way, it's one of them stand-up and beg suitcases, like a stand-up and beg
piano.
It's
like a Japanese tourist suitcase.
And you just push it. It's the easiest thing I've ever...
It's on four wheels.
It's on four wheels,
and
yeah.
It's got the thing that the sort of extendable handle, right?
And
how much did you pay for that suitcase?
£79 yesterday.
What?
79.
Are you mad?
No.
You get one of those for about tenner.
No, honestly.
79 quid?
79 quid, yeah.
Dear God.
So anyway, so hello? Oh, no, that's
Don't
fine,
worry.
Honestly. Here, do you want to take that away? And I'll just take my...
This is just while we're talking here. Yeah, we're just recording a little podcast for our listeners, but that's okay. What's your name? I can't see it on your badge.
Aurora.
Aurora.
Wow, what a great name. Yeah.
Aurora's just fantastic. Come to take Mr. Parry's cheese away.
That's right. Thank you very much.
It's not very good for his heart.
No.
Slightly belatedly.
That's
but
all
thank
right,
you, Aurora. It's very
thank
kind
you
of
very
you.
Very much. That's very good of you. No, I'm fine. For the
you'll
moment.
Need a, you'll need a stretcher a little bit later to get him off the plane.
Not at all. Aurora, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you,
indeed.
Aurora.
Yeah, exactly. Don't suppose your surname's Borealis, is it?
No, that would be Aurorialis.
Sorry? What? Frost. Aurora Frost. Your grand...
Her name was Aurora Borealis.
Really?
Yes. No way.
That's incredible.
And my parents felt I brought us enough of punishment to escape the
And you, what, your grandmother's name was again? Sorry.
Aurora Borealis.
Your grandmother's name was?
Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
Good, good. No, I don't think so. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's like Northern Lights, that
is
for you.
Yeah,
it's the Northern Lights.
Yeah, it is the Northern Lights, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got to... Are you still doing
your suitcase story?
Yeah, because we get out.
God almighty.
And I said to my driver, I said, now, I have got everything, haven't I? You know, and I patted my pocket, you know...
To make sure you got your wallet. Very
wallet.
Important. Passport.
Passport, like phone and stuff. And I've got my case, yeah.
No.
So I merrily walk off into Terminal 5.
Yes.
And then very pompously, because I got there 25 minutes earlier than I told you I'd be there.
You did
six
get
o'clock.
There a bit early, yeah.
I then text you and says I'm here.
Yeah.
And I text the other boys, Pooch and Brian.
And you said I'm near the C section.
Near the C section.
Yeah.
So anyway, I then saw a WH Smith's. And I thought, that's good, WH Smith's. Because I...
Well, you know what you did? You did what you always do.
Yeah.
You tell me you're waiting for me in a particular place. And when I
know,
get there,
you're
never there.
But I did this
when we went to West Ham.
I started off towards WH Smith's thinking I can put the papers in my shoulder bag.
Yes.
So I then thought, where did I put my shoulder bag?
Yeah.
Guess where my shoulder bag was?
Shoulder.
No longer on my shoulder, no longer on the seat next to my brand new turquoise suitcase.
Yes.
The shoulder bag was in the back of the taxi.
Oh, God.
Which left me. Now, fortunately, because of new technology, when the taxi driver got to my penthouse Erie this morning, he actually phoned me from outside and said, I'm here.
Right.
So I had his mobile phone number.
They do that now. They don't ring the bell.
Fantastic. So, and about a quarter of an hour must have gone before I discovered I had my bag. So I rang this guy. And I get a.
I still don't know his name was. That's shocking.
Don't know his name. Doesn't matter.
So, no, it does matter. He's
an
integral part of the story you're telling.
Well, he's a terrific guy.
And you don't know his
name. Well, I might be able to find it. I'll have a look on my.
Don't worry about that. But you should.
I'll look on my phone in a minute.
Had it imprinted on your memory.
But anyway, so I ring him. First of all, it's engaged. But then he very decently rings me back. And I said.
And that must have been who you were calling, because I tried to call you when I got to the C section to find that you weren't there.
Yeah.
And you were on the phone.
Okay, so I say to the chap concerned.
Yeah.
I said, hello, mate, or
whatever
sir, or something.
Is.
Yeah. I said, look, you've just dropped me off at Heathrow Terminal 5.
Yeah.
He said, yes, sir. I said, look, you won't believe this. I said, but I've left my shoulder bag in your car.
Was it in the back seat?
He's in the back seat.
Oh, dear.
And he said, I'm halfway back home now. I said, well, look, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to turn around and bring me my bag because I can't fly without it.
Right. What he was in the bag? I mean, what sort of documents? Papers?
Some documents, my insurance policy, $1,000.
Your insurance policy?
Yeah, all this.
What sort of insurance policy did you get?
I got my health insurance policy, you know.
What, for both of us?
No, I can't get one for you.
What do you mean you can't get one for me?
You're too far gone.
I've got the one who's near death.
Anyway,
what's the insurance policy?
Well, you know, you get a travel
insurance policy.
You
tell me you get a separate insurance policy.
You get a travel insurance policy, don't you?
Yeah, but I get mine automatically with my credit card.
Well, I decided to do it through Thomas Cook.
What, you mean you've actually taken out an extra insurance policy?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what does that cover you for?
Well,
death?
Yeah, that's
serious
stuff.
Injury?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Have you told him how ill you are?
I'm not ill. I'm not ill. I'm perfectly
You're perfectly healthy. Yeah. Thank God you finally admitted it.
An insurance person.
No, you are perfectly healthy.
No, no.
You finally admitted it.
No.
You told me that you were suffering from acute heart failure.
No.
For years you've said that.
Excuse me. To insurance underwriters,
yes.
I'm perfectly healthy.
Doesn't that null and void the policy?
Well, you know, well, let's not go there.
All right.
So anyway.
Well, let me tell you something. If something goes wrong, horribly wrong, and the insurance policy doesn't cover you,
yeah.
I'm leaving you there.
Yeah,
I'm leaving you in New York.
Well,
I'm not going to pay to bring you back.
That's fantastic comradeship, isn't it?
You know? Sorry.
So anyway, so I say to the guy, look, I'm sorry, you're going to have to bring you back, you know.
How far had he got?
He's halfway home. So anyway, I thought, I might have to get heavy with this guy, because if he says he can't, I say, I'm going to ring up his company and say, we're going to blacklist you, you know, or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
anyway,
what a shambles.
No, he was a shambles, yeah. He was incredibly helpful and said, okay, I'll turn right
also,
around now.
By the way, do you know that they've got... did you see the rules at Terminal 5? They're quite hard.
Yeah.
If you are dropping somebody off,
yeah.
you're allowed to drop them at a certain point.
That's right.
However, if you're picking somebody up
yes.
illegally
yes.
from that drop-off point,
yes.
it's worth a £150 fine.
Yeah, I know.
So if he brings something to you,
yes.
I don't know whether they charge that as
no.
a dropping off
no.
or whether
no.
they charge that as a picking up.
This guy's smart. So
Are you sure?
So yeah. anyway, he said, I'll come back. So I gave him a call 10 minutes later and said, how's it going? I was by then waiting outside.
Yeah.
That's why you couldn't find me at C block, right?
Well, I then called you to say, and you said to me,
yeah.
"Oh, you're outside. Lost
yeah,
my bag."
Yeah, yeah.
And you were then about another 20 minutes.
But anyway, this, you see, I was so confused at where was my shoulder bag. I thought I might have left it in my own apartment and not brought it out in the first place.
Yeah.
But then I had a reflection of being in the car and rifling through my $1,000 just to feel good, you know.
You've got $1,000?
Yeah, $1,000,
well, don't tell everybody that, because
you
get mugged.
No.
So luckily, this won't be going out until after we've finished.
In the phone call, I said, look, can you reach behind you, even though you're driving, take one hand off the wheel and make sure that my bag's there? And he said, but I'm on the A31 or something, you know. I said, I don't care. I said, you've got to make sure it's there. So anyway, so he spins back.
There's a lot of problems you've caused.
I know. He spins back, spins around. I said, come to exactly where you dropped me off. I said, it's near the first zebra crossing, you know, in the filter lane outside Terminal 5.
It was in the middle one.
It was at the right. It was to the right.
Okay.
So anyway, he comes and he slows, flashes his lights. I walk up to the open window. He hands me my bag. And without the car stopping, I hand him another £50.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, I don't know, but I gave him another 50 quid.
You gave him another 50?
Yeah.
So having paid him 50 already,
yeah,
for a 46 pound fare, you've now given him £100.
I have, yeah, because I foolishly left my bag in the car.
What a plague.
But to be honest...
What an absolute plague.
But to be honest, as a driver, he should have said, no, you have got everything, haven't you? Let's search the car.
Well,
because, you know, it was dark and all that kind of stuff.
Do you know, if I was a driver, I would say... To whoever, I mean, did he get out of the car when you got out or not?
He got out and got my new suitcase, turquoise suitcase, out the boot.
But he probably thinks that you're, you know, reasonably grown man. You can probably take care of what you put in the back seat. You know, I mean, it'd be one thing if you were bladderated. I've got taxis home in the past.
Yeah.
And you know, I've tried really, really hard to make sure I haven't left anything or nothing's fallen out of my pocket.
Yeah.
But when you're kind of compass mentis,
yes,
people expect you to be able to look after yourself.
That's right. I tell you, talk about leaving a bag in a car. Right. I've got a different story. And that was, I was the news of the Daily Express. Got incredibly bladderated in Fleet Street one night. In those days, I used to carry around a very expensive leather briefcase. You know what I mean?
Lots of things that made you look important.
Yes, that's right.
There's nothing in it, right?
Oh, yeah, no, there were. There were things in it like, you know...
Like what?
Oh, you know, that day's running order and expenses forms and, you know, sort of
newspapers. Yeah,
but nothing
that you really needed.
Well,
I mean, why would you need to take that day's news list?
Well, it made me look incredibly important, and it was a tan-coloured one, right? So anyway, I stagger out of Fleet Street.
Did you have a 007, what do you call it?
Code.
Code
on my lock, no. So anyway, I staggered out onto Fleet Street from the Hoppingjay, waved down the last available black cab. It was quite hard to get a black cab in those days.
It still is.
Yeah, and he took me to Victoria.
Right.
So I got on the last train, and for some bizarre reason, I think it was full of drunks, so it must have been Friday night.
Well, you were one of them.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right, yeah. So it was full of drunks, and so I put the case on the luggage rack, okay?
Right.
So anyway...
That was a bad idea.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm going down to Epsom.
Yeah.
And when Epsom comes, I never fall asleep when I'm drunk. I just stay wide awake.
Really?
And in charge of myself.
Yeah.
But I see that all the signs of Epsom, leap up first to get off the train ahead of the hordes and get off the train. So I then get a cab from Epsom home. I lived in a place called Banstead then, right? And then, believe it or not, about 2 minutes later, no, half an hour later, my home telephone rings.
Right.
I thought, well, no, it's supposed to be the office. It must be a big story.
Yeah.
So I pick up the phone, and a chap says, "Hello, is that Mr. Parry?" And I said, "Yes, yes, it is." He said, "Okay, Mr. Parry." He said, "It's British Rail at Horsham."
Those were the days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, "Yeah."
Before Southeastern and Southern.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he said, "It's British Rail at Horsham."
Idiots.
I said, "Right, okay." He said, "We've got your briefcase."
Yeah, yeah.
I said, "Sorry, what are you talking about? We've got."
You think he was like?
I said,
"Russian agent."
I said, "What do you mean you've got a briefcase?" I said, "My briefcase is next to the door where I always put it at night when I come in from work."
Right.
He said, "Well, we've got a briefcase and we opened it and there's
so hadn't so it wasn't locked."
No,
at all.
No,
did you not think you should lock it?
Well, I never did. You know, in those days, you just didn't. He said, "And then we've got a business card from you, and the business card's got the Daily Express number on, and we've rung them,
right?
And they've given us your home number."
It's
so,
nice
exactly.
Shouldn't there be a bit of security?
I don't know. And we've rung you. I said, "Are you some sort of a joker?" I said, "My briefcase is at the door next to the hat stand where I leave it every night when I come in."
Hat stand.
And they said, "Well, do you want to go and look for it? Make sure we haven't got the wrong case." Yeah. So, of course, I went to look for it. He wasn't there. I had
him. Do one of those mad things that you sometimes do when you're pissed, where you go, "Somebody's stolen it from my house."
No, I didn't do that, because it all started to make sense in my befuddled, bladderated brain that I had actually left it on the train.
Oh.
I couldn't even remember taking it on the train, let alone
taking
it off. Could
you remember being on the train?
Couldn't remember being on the train.
No.
So, anyway, the next day, shamefacedly, fortunately, it was a Saturday, so I had the day off. I drive down to Horsham, you know, when I'd sobered up,
of course.
And I went to the lost property office at Horsham, and I couldn't believe my luck. I mean, if they hadn't taken it off the train at Horsham, it could have been going up and down from Horsham to Victoria for the next whole weekend.
The contents were so boring that nobody actually found anything.
Probably left it. But anyway, getting back to where we are now, we're flying backwards on a British Airways jumbo to New York City, which is absolutely fabulous.
And we've done rather well on the drinking front, haven't we?
Well,
I started with some vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
What have you had so far?
Two or three large vodkas, I would say.
Two or three large vodkas in the...
I didn't have a drink at all till we got on the plane, and I had a...
You then had a Bucks Fizz.
I had a little Bucks Fizz.
You had a Bucks Fizz.
Mostly orange.
Took off,
mostly orange. But I then...
You then took off.
I then had a couple of Amstel beers,
A couple of beers.
And then I had a drop of red wine.
And I think it was a Malbec, was it not, from Argentina?
A Malbec from Argentina.
Nice.
Good, great country, Argentina.
And then some Pinot Noir.
A little Pinot Noir and just a little glass of port. It's all been very nice indeed.
It's pretty amazing for a guy who's not drinking.
Well, I'm not. I'm just tasting. Because you've got to remember that part of the relationship we have with British Airways is to enjoy their experience, and to enjoy their experience have to enjoy their menu.
In moderation.
In moderation, of course. And part of their menu is a very nice wine list.
Yeah.
And they asked me to go through it and see what I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm only taking one sip out of each glass.
What about our neighbour?
50 times. Yeah, a bit of a nutter.
You're not allowed to say that.
Well, what
it's
I don't
a banned word,
what I don't get is we got on the plane at 9:40, and by 10:10, he'd wrapped himself in a blanket,
like
wrapped
a mummy.
Wrapped his seatbelt around him so he didn't fall off his flatbed seat, and tried to get to sleep.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they were serving
headphones and some eye goggles.
That's right, headphones and eye goggles. And by that time, the crew had already started serving the breakfast, right, stepping over him and all that kind of stuff. Very odd.
A bit strange,
Very
anyway,
odd.
So we're about to land in New York City, probably in about, what, 2-3 hours maybe?
No, less than 2 hours.
We've been flying now since 9:40.
Yeah.
It's now 2:10.
Yeah.
Right?
It's 4.5 hours.
It is 4.5 hours.
So we've got about two and a half to go.
Well, that's what I said, about 2-3 hours we'll be landing in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And we're going to get straight into a limo. We're going to do a little bit of filming.
We are.
We're going to then head into... Midtown Hotel. We don't have to tell anybody where it is.
Exactly.
And then we're going to go to the City Winery, check out the venue.
We certainly are.
For Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very exciting indeed.
It
it's
is
been
indeed.
Great, actually, to be back together in New
York.
Oh,
yeah, I totally agree.
You and I have not been in New York together, really.
15 years.
Think, since my wedding.
Yeah, maybe since your wedding,
which was
1987. Together, yeah. No, didn't I? What year was Emma born?
She was born in 1990.
Well, don't remember. I came the 2 days after she was born.
Actually, okay, so, so that means 1990. So that is... 27 years.
My God, in New York together,
Wow.
It's
we're
going
to visit a few bars. Many of the bars that we used to go to, like Costello's, Eamon Duran's, the Lion's Head, are no longer there.
Sure.
So we're going to have to visit
Lion's Head's not there.
Lion's Head's gone.
Down in the village.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, I didn't know. That was Mickey's favourite place.
It was
Brennan,
one of his favourite places.
Our photographer pal.
It was a good place to get certain substances late at night.
Yes.
It was also where Jessica Lange
Yes.
Once operated as a waitress.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, she was discovered there by some Hollywood film star.
Wow.
Who said, this woman is so beautiful that she has to be in movies.
Yeah.
She was a waitress on Lion's Head.
Wow. Incredible. Fantastic, yeah.
So, that's pretty much episode 20.
It certainly is.
We are going to be recording some stuff while we're in New York, so it may well be that by the time you hear this, we will still be in New York.
Yep.
And we may be recording more stuff.
Yep.
But also episode 21... will be more of our recollections of the city.
And it'll be up shortly.
It will.
Thank you.
We are the Two Mics.
Okay. I walk up to the open window. He hands me my bag, and without the car stopping, I hand him another £50.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, I don't know, but I gave him another 50 quid.
You gave him another 50?
Yeah.
So having paid him 50 already,
for
46 pound fare, you've now given him £100.
I have, yeah, because I foolishly left my bag in the car.
What a plague.
But, to be honest...
What an absolute plague. Why have you brought 10 pairs?
Well, because,
you know, they're Thursday... Friday,
yeah, I know.
Saturday,
yeah,
Sunday, Monday, right?
I might get changed twice a day.
Well, do you need to wear two pairs of pants a day?
Well, I might do. Yeah,
I'm sorry to impinge on the personal items, you know.
But anyway, listen, what I was going to say is...
I've only brought five pairs of boxer shorts.
Well, nobody wants to know that. Well, Aurora, thank you very much.
Thank you, Aurora.
Yeah, exactly. Don't suppose your surname's Borealis, is it?
No, that would be Aurorealis.
Sorry? What? Frost. Aurora Frost. Your gram...
Was
really?
It? No way.
That's incredible. And your grandmother's name was again? Sorry?
Aurora Borealis.
Your grandmother's name was? Aurora Borealis.
Yeah.
Good God. No, I don't think so. And that's fantastic.
That's like Northern Lights, that is for you.
Yeah.
It's the Northern Lights.
Yeah, it is the Northern Lights, yeah. So anyway, what I did is, I staggered out onto Fleet Street from the Popinjay, waved down the last available black cab. Mm. It was quite hard to get a black cab in those days.
It still is.
Yeah, and he took me to Victoria.
Right.
So I got on the last train, and for some bizarre reason, I think it was full of drunks, so it must have been Friday night.
Well, you were one of them.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right, yeah.